Can we please turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10? And I'm going to start reading from verse 1. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And we'll probably read all the way to verse 20. If you're there, say amen. Okay, let us read. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. Amen. The title of my message today is The Believer's Authority. And I guess I didn't just want to take out the portion of scripture where the Lord actually gave the disciples authority out of context. That's why we read the whole of that from verse 1 to verse 20. And, you know, from the passage we can see that the Lord sent out his disciples two by two into every city where he himself was about to go. You know, that kind of tells you that wherever we go as Christians, the Lord is going to go after us. Amen? Because it says he sent them two by two into every city where he himself was going to go. Now, in studying or in preparing for this message, I did a bit of searching and about this scripture. And, you know, to my amazement, I saw that some translations actually say that there were 72 disciples and some say 70. I'm sure Pastor would correct me. He's the Bible scholar in the house. And, you know, it got a bit confusing when I was reading. And, you know, some people say 70, some say 72. There was some kind of loss in translation. And, you know, I did a little bit of Google searching about which one it really is. And I stumbled upon some Bible school websites where all these Bible students were arguing and saying it has to be 72 because there were 72 nations of Israel. And some say it was 70. And, you know, they got caught up in this whole argument, losing the whole focus of the message, which was the authority that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. You know, they got caught up in the whether it's the 72 or 70. Honestly, the Lord sent them out. They went to do what he asked them to do. And they came back with serious results. Amen? And that is all, You know, that is what should be our focus, even as I share this morning about the believer's authority. Now, we read later on that they came back with very fantastic testimonies of what they had seen, of what had happened in the name of Jesus. And that's the essence of everything I'm going to talk about today. It's not because, yeah, we got it all together, we're very spiritual, you know, we're tall, we're big, we're whatever it is. It's none of that. It's in the name of Jesus. When we go out in the power of his might, in the name of Jesus, that's when things happen. Amen? And even the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus even confirmed that when he had sent them out, he saw Satan fall like lightning, which means they were under so much of the power of God and so much under his authority that Satan had no chance of standing up against them. Amen? And then, of course, the Lord now made this statement. I think it's in verse 19. He made the statement. He said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That is the authority that God has given us, his disciples. And you know, in verse 19, he didn't say, "I gave you the power," so it ended after that. But he says, "I give you." It's something that is it present, continuous? I don't know the English term. I'm not a teacher, but my wife can argue that later on or tell me which one is correct. But he says, "I give you," which means for us today, it's still working. Amen? That he is giving us that power, that authority. My translation says authority. Some other translations say power. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Of course, when you see a word in the Bible, and the word I want to focus on is the word authority, you go and do a search, or you probably bring out your dictionary to try and find out the meaning of that word. And I did just that. Now, I did a search for authority, and the definition of authority is the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and enforce obedience. That sounds like they pulled that from Jesus himself. The power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and enforce obedience. Amen? You know, as a father myself, sometimes in the home, I have to enforce obedience. Kids will always be kids. I used to be a kid, very naughty kid when I was growing up. And thankfully, I don't have to use a cane or whatever in my household too often. I don't think I've been using it in a long time, actually. But when I stop that, everybody, they kind of tremble. And sometimes they just look at me like, what's he up to? But as a father, I try to enforce obedience. That is my role and my wife's role, of course, to enforce obedience. And, you know, funny enough, even my oldest daughter tries to enforce obedience on her younger siblings. And we just stand there and say, well, she learned it from us. And it's for a good reason. And we thank God for that. Amen? Another definition of authority says the right to act in a specified way, delegated from one person or organization to another. And you know, when I read that definition of authority, the right to act in a specified way, delegated from one person or organization to another. I think I can use an example here as somebody like Pastor Philip. When Dexter and Jane got married, he did all the exchange their vows, exchange their rings and all that. And then he made an announcement. He said, by the power invested in me by the state of Western Australia, I think it is, I now pronounce you man and wife, which means the state had given him the authority to be able to be a marriage celebrant, to join to a man and a woman together. Amen? Now, another definition here says authority is official permission or sanction. And, you know, in my wallet here, I have this little blue card. The picture is terrible. All you can see is black and then my teeth. It's my driver's license, okay? It's true. I mean, you can't even see my face. But the new one is going to be better, I'm sure. Now, this license was issued to me by the government of Western Australia to give me the authority to drive any car that is classed as a Class C license. So which means the car has to be a motor vehicle that is less than 4.5 tons in gross volume weight or mass or whatever that is, and that doesn't carry more than 12 people. So I have the authority to drive a Class C vehicle. They've given me that official permission to do that. Of course, I had to take a test and meet some specific requirements to do so. And, of course, it means I drive cars that I've been given permission to drive. I can't go to somebody else's house and just break the lock of their car and drive and say, because I have a driver's license, I can drive anybody's car. That would be going against the laws of the land, and that does not give me the right to do so. So likewise, even as believers, the Lord Jesus has given us the authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions. And we know in the Bible, when it talks about snakes and scorpions, it's talking about the power of the evil one, the power that Satan tries to wield over us as believers. And you know, the interesting thing is, in our work as Christians, I dare say it's a given that we would always face opposition. We're always going to have battles to fight. Does anybody agree with that? We're always going to have battles to fight. But the good news is that we are also the ones who have won. I mean, the victory is already settled. It's only for us to walk in the light of the victory that has already been won on our behalf. Amen? And we need to do this in the name of Jesus. You know, not because I've been a Christian for more than 20 years, not because assuming I've gone to Bible school and I've studied and I've got a master's in divinity, not because of anything, but because of the name of Jesus. Any one of us, anyone, even from the youngest to the very oldest, can stand on that name and in the authority of that name can stop things, negative things, can cause good to come over yourself, over other people around you, over nations, over whatever it is that may have an element of battle that we need to press in with God. And you know, going on as we read that, one key verse here that I focused on also was in verse 20, where the Lord Jesus says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I tell you, that is the ultimate that we want on this earth here. That is what we the whole essence of us being in fellowship with God and coming back to Him and being called Christians is that we're in fellowship with God and that our names are written in heaven. But you know, in reading that same statement, it means that the Lord Jesus was actually pointing out something to us as well. That the fact that the demons will be subject to His authority was a given. It was not even an argument anymore. But He said, don't focus just on that. Focus on the fact that your names are written in heaven. So which means the casting of demons, the putting them under subjection to the name of Christ was no argument. I mean, that is supposed to happen. That is supposed to be normal for us as Christians. But sadly, today I can say, I mean, in my own life, I don't see that always happening. And that's what I'm here to encourage all of us about, standing in that authority. That authority that comes with the power. It's like the whole of heaven is standing behind us when we say, in the name of Jesus. I mean, like all the songs we sang this morning, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be His glorious name. He has paid that price. He went onto that cross. He was nailed for us. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And after that, all authority, even the Bible says that God gave Him every bit of authority on earth and in heaven was given to Him. And then He now says that we also were co-heirs with Him, with Christ. Amen? So to walk in that authority, it's a given. And you know, I always tell you this, every time I preach, I always share and make fun of myself, that one of my struggles is my size. I'm watching my height, not my weight. Amen. And one of my, you know, even now, whenever I've been walking on this journey and I'm taking it a bit more serious because of health issues as well, When I leave the home in the morning, I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I will not eat things that would be detrimental to my weight loss or my height gain journey. I will not eat things that would mess up that goal. In the name of, you know, I have to tell myself and let the authority and the power of God help me to do that. And I'm sharing this to all of you. Whatever struggle it is you're going through, mine may look very silly. I mean, it sounds like something. Another problem I have is I constantly have doubts, flare-ups. And, you know, when I start feeling a little tinge of pain, I'm thinking, oh, should I quickly run to the medicine cabinet and get Voltaren or take the gout medicine? Or should I just say, in the name of Jesus, I come against that pain. I speak against the influence of that pain over my leg. And I cast you out in Jesus' name. Which one do you think is better as believers? The second one. Amen. Because, look, I come from a country. I grew up in Nigeria, for those of you who don't know, where I've said this before, but I'll say it again, that I've seen ambulances in Australia here that are more equipped than hospitals back in my country. Ambulances here that are more equipped than hospitals back home. And because of that, we grew up in a culture where you have to learn to trust God. You have to learn to take him at his word, not trusting in what man can do, but in what God alone can do. Some people don't even have hospitals. They don't even have health centers close to them. And the only name they can look to is Jesus. And I tell you, that is the background in which I grew up. I grew up in a setting where we were told, I mean, the day you get saved, they pray for you, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can go out and start causing change in your area, in your environment, because the power of God rests on you. And I saw it when we were growing up as little believers. We'll pray for people, they will get healed and stuff like that. Real crazy things happening. But, you know, over the years, sometimes you lose sight of this. Sometimes you lose sight of those truths that God has given us in his word. And we need to constantly remind ourselves that the power of heaven, the whole power of heaven, backs us up as believers. And look, it has nothing to do with your age, your experience. Of course, your experience will give you more faith, but it's something that has been given to us, and it's only for us to then walk in the light of that promise that we have in the Word of God. Now, going back to verse 20 again, when the Lord said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in that these spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We've seen preachers who, full of the power of God, full of this authority in the Word of God, have fallen by the wayside or have started going into error because they think, yep, the power is all for me. It's because I'm more spiritual, it's because I'm more anointed, whatever it is. Forgetting where the source of that power is, and they veer off and they start making mistakes and they get so puffed up and they lose sight of where or what God called them to do in the first place. It's my prayer that none of us would ever get to that place, but I pray that we'll get to experience that authority. Amen? And you know, some people, because of that, they shy away from wanting to experience the authority or wanting to exercise that authority because they don't want to fall into error. But, you know, I'd rather you don't, you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and still trust in him that the power of God, the authority as a believer, would always work on your behalf as long as you're doing it in his name. Amen? Amen. So, moving on. As we continue to exercise this authority, we're going to grow in our faith. And that's one thing. Once you try something, you grow in it. Once you see, wow, this thing works, and you step out in faith. And I tell you, it has to be a faith journey. It's not going to be something. Sometimes you pray for people, they don't get healed. It doesn't mean you stop praying the next time. You just keep going at it. You keep growing at it. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. These disciples, they got, I mean, it looks like, of course, they didn't share with us if they didn't get any victories. They didn't even talk about any of the cities or any of the people that didn't receive them. They just came back and shared that, wow, they were so impressed that everyone, or well, people that they prayed for, they saw demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They saw opposition fall down at the name of Jesus. And likewise, we here as Christians, we should learn how to do that. You know, in our families, in our homes, if you have kids that are not being the way they should be, you speak In the name of Jesus, I speak to that child. You will conform to what the Word of God says about you. You will be the head and not the tail. You'll be a winner and not a loser. You know, your boss is behaving like Satan himself in the office. You speak to that boss. I come against that spirit that is causing me to get angry with you. And I come against the spirit that is getting me to get angry. And I pray peace into that situation, into that circumstance. You know, you might be having an argument with your wife or with your spouse. The same thing. I come against that spirit, that nagging spirit in the name of Jesus. I speak peace into the house. You know, these are the weapons that God has given us to put things aright. Rather than fight with our own arms and with our own flesh. Because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the earth, against spiritual wickednesses in heavenly places. And the weapon that we have, one of the weapons, is the name of Jesus. That we can call on to save us. Amen. The name of Jesus. At the mention of that name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And we believe that. Amen? We believe that. We fight battles from a place of victory, knowing that Jesus has won that victory for us. Amen. Can we just quickly turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18? Please. Are you there? Yes. Amen. Now, verse 18 of Matthew 28. It says here, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." This was after he had risen and he appeared to his disciples. And then in 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That was basically another version of the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus gave to us as believers, to go out into the world and preach and to make disciples of all nations. All authority had been given to him in heaven and on earth, and we were going in his name. We're not making disciples for ourselves. Please understand that straight away. We're making disciples for him, to bring him glory, to bring him honor in this life. Amen? Now, to live in this authority, we need to fulfill a few requirements, and I'll just quickly go over one of them. To exhibit or to be able to experience the authority in Christ. Of course, the first one, what do you think it should be? It's not a trick question. What do you think we need? What's the first requirement? We need to be saved. Thank you. We need to be saved. We need to acknowledge. I mean, that's speaking to those who are not saved, who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We need to acknowledge that we are sinners and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we then become believers, we stand behind the cross and the finished work of redemption on that cross. And we can stand boldly to say in the name of Jesus. And you know, I remember when we were growing up back in Nigeria, when we got saved then, like I shared earlier on, that they taught us this, that as soon as you get saved, you can go home and start praying for everybody in your house and getting them saved. But I guess fear sometimes takes you over. For me, when I got saved, I was, I think, the number 3 or number 4 in the household. So everybody else was already saved before me. So, and I was like, you too saved? Praise God. But I got saved. And that is the hope that we have, that once we are saved, we can start standing in that authority. I remember, I didn't ask her permission, but I'll just say this. I'm sure she wouldn't get angry. Sister Liang was sharing with us at church camp how when she got saved, that within, I think, about a week or so, 3 or 4 or 5 other members of her family also got saved. And you know, that is the power of God at work. She went for the meeting. She got saved. She invited her sister. She invited her, I think it was her son or somebody, or some other family members, her brother or something, and her nephews. And within about the space of about a week or and a half, a lot of them got saved. I remember at that same church camp, Sister Julie also sharing with me what God saved her from. I tell you, that has to be the power of God. Amen. just in this room alone, I can just start asking you different of your life before Christ. And based on what you tell me, I'll know straight away that, I mean, come on, man, that has to be the power of God. That has to be the power of heaven that was moved on your behalf. And we know that, look, he first loved us. He's the one that has been knocking on the doors of our heart, and we need to accept him. But sometimes through our stubbornness and through just wayward ways, we don't come to that place. But somehow, somebody's praying for you. Somebody's standing in the gap for you, and shifts. I mean, basically things shift, and your heart is melted or your heart is broken, and that opening just comes up in your life to accept and to receive Christ. Amen? And likewise, that is how, you know, when we pray, sometimes you see situations and circumstances that are so difficult, or you see people who you just think that this one can never get saved, or this one can never be redeemed. No, the power of God, the power of God, the power of our Most High God. Once we stand on that word and we keep on praying and pressing in, we will see lives transformed. We will see people changed for his glory. Amen. Now, another requirement is we need to live righteously. And I guess that's what he was saying in verse 20 of Luke chapter 10 that we read earlier on, that we need to constantly maintain the fact that our names are written in heaven. And living righteously, remembering that our righteousness is of God through Christ Jesus. Amen? And we continue to just live that life that is focused on God and not on ourselves. We continue to just acknowledge that God is the strength of our hearts. God is the strength that we need. It's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen? So that is very important, that we live righteously, that we live holy lives, that we do not live lives that are questionable, that we do not live lives that are... And people will say, are you sure you're saved? Are you really a Christian? And, you know, the Spirit of God will show us. The Spirit of God will open up things to us that need to be cleaned up or cleaned out, or things that need to be added to us to make our walk in God or in Christ to reflect God's presence in us. Amen? So I just pray by the mercy and by the grace of God that we'll continue to do so, living a life that is holy, that is blameless before God. Amen. Now, the third thing is, of course, to fulfill the requirements to live in that authority is to simply resist the devil. Don't accept things that people say to you that is contrary to the word of God. Do not accept things that come your way. Like I said, I mean, sometimes I start feeling pain, and the easiest thing for me to do is just say, I'm going to be sick today, and then not want to get up. No. I come against the pain, I speak against it, and I pray in the name of Jesus for the pain to leave. Same thing, you know, my wife has been struggling with health issues, and, you know, she asked me to pray for her, and we will speak against it, we'll command it, even though 5 minutes later she's still feeling the pain, but you keep pressing, and you just keep going on. You don't resist, you don't stop. You don't stop doing that, but you resist the devil and resist every form of opposition to you. And you know, even me as a man, sometimes, you know, I'm driving, thinking about something, and then all of a sudden this horrible thought will come into my mind. And you know, you don't dwell on such thoughts, but sometimes I'll catch myself when I'm alone in the car, I'll just say, I come against that thought in the name of Jesus. I come against that feeling or that element of doubt in the name of Jesus, you know. And you have to constantly wage that war. And a lot of battles actually start in our minds, in our heads. If Satan can get you to think and believe the way he wants you, he's already won the battle. But we have to stand firm. I mean, that's why we have the armor of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the full God shirt with the gospel of peace, and all those armors that we put on, the shield of faith. All that stuff, we use that to counter anything that he throws at us. Amen. And, I mean, temptation is real. I'll be frank with you. Temptation is very, very real. Even the Lord Jesus, when he went into the wilderness, he was tempted. Satan knew who he was, but he tried his best shot. And the Lord Jesus always came back and said, it is written. It is written. And likewise, we as believers, we will say, it is written. When we speak against mountains, when we speak against opposition, in the name of Jesus, we see results. Amen? Amen. Now, moving on, let's, I guess as we grow as Christians, we keep on moving on and learning how to exercise that authority more and more as we progress as Christians. Can we just quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, please? And I like this prayer that Paul prayed. And I think it's a prayer that everybody, every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, should pray. Ephesians chapter 1. I remember we used to call them the Pauline prayers when we were growing up back in those days. Is everybody there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And we're going to read up to about 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. I think I've heard Pastor Philip pray this prayer before, but I remember when I was growing up as well, our pastors used to tell us, you take this kind of prayer and you put your name there. So you say, therefore, also I have heard of your faith. I've heard of your faith, Nigel, in the Lord Jesus, and your love, Nigel, for all the saints. And I do not cease to give thanks for Nigel. Amen. Making mention of Nigel in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to Nigel the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And you know, if you have people that you want to pray for, if you have cousins, nephews, nieces, parents, people who are not saved, that you will pray this. I mean, just the first few verses, which says that they may be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. People have a problem understanding who God is. Verse 18 says that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, you know, their eyes will be like, wow, I see God now, and now I understand who he is. And you know, this can be prayed for anybody. I can say that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to Peter the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of Martin's understanding being enlightened, that Pastor Philip may know what is the hope of his calling. Amen. He already knows that, I'm sure. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards everybody in Zion who believe according to the working of his mighty power? So let's take this scripture. Maybe this is what you're going to take home with you and start reading that. If you pray this over yourself every day, that God will open up your eyes, that even if you don't understand what I'm sharing now, that God would even expound and open up your eyes to understand the effect of walking in the authority of Christ. Likewise, even when Pastor Philip preaches every Sunday, that the Lord of hosts, the Spirit of God, will open up our eyes. Let us see the truths behind what is being shared. Let us see the power of God that has been given to us to walk in victory over every situation and circumstance. And you know, as we do this praying daily, you keep growing, you keep moving on in that area that God would have you grow in. Amen. And you know, people always tell you, if you're given this test and then you run away, you need to come back and finish and fight that battle before you can get to the next level with God. And that is how it is as Christians. We should face the battles head on. Not because we're going to fight, because we're spiritual or whatever it is, but because we're hiding behind the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we win the battle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's just quickly turn to another scripture. I think it was my wife that came and shared this during last Sunday's worship. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. And this is a clear testimony of the disciples moving under the authority in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Amen? That is a clear example of the authority of the believer taking effect. I mean, this is the same Peter who, a few weeks before this, was hiding when a little girl said, "Oh, weren't you hanging out with Jesus the other day?" And he was like, no, it's not me. He denied Christ. But after they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after they had been endued with power from on high, they were so bold. They went to this guy, saw him. The guy had been born that way. He was from his mother's womb. He had been crippled and he lay at the temple gates. And Peter said, "Look at me. Look at us." And, you know, the guy looked at it expecting to receive something. And guess what? He received something. He got something. I guess he probably was looking for money that was going to sustain him just for that day, but he got something to sustain him for the rest of his life. Amen? And that is what God does. When we trust in him, when we depend on him, when we look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, we will expect and we will receive in Jesus' name. And Peter just told him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And that is how it is as believers. You know, as we get to experience a lot more of these testimonies and a lot more of these victories in our lives, in our personal lives, in things that we do, it will give us a sense of boldness. It will give us a sense of faith. And of course, I tell you, a lot of this has to be prepared and if I may say, the faith needs to be built up in our closets where we go in quietly and we pray, "God, give me the faith that I need to stand on your word. Give me the faith to believe your word. Give me the faith to even see." Like we read in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, we need his spirit to illuminate, to show us who he really is so that we can stand out and we can walk out in faith. Amen. And the more we do that, we continue to grow. We continue to grow in that grace, in the knowledge of him, and we continue to grow in what he has called us to do. Now, in my wallet, I have something else. This one is another. This one is a learner's permit, but I've actually passed the test now. I do some IT work for a Christian college down in the city, and they have this 22-seater bus. And you know, they were asking, "Oh, Nigel, please, do you know how to drive a bus? Do you have a license to drive a bus? Sometimes we need somebody to just take the kids to like a soccer match or volleyball game or something, and we don't want to pay to hire a bus. Is it okay if we pay for you to go get the license to drive a bus?" And I'm like, "Okay." And then they now told me, "Oh, whenever you want to use the bus, you can take the bus for free. Just bring it back with full petrol." I'm like, "Wow, I can see where Zion will use that bus." So I went and got my license. Now, this license gives me the authority to drive any motor vehicle over 8 tons, but it must only have 2 axles. So any big truck, I can drive it. So anybody who wants to move a house, if you need somebody to drive a truck, I can do that. Praise God. Yes. For free. Amen. Now, this gives me the authority to do that. When I get my new license, they're going to change the color from that old blue one. This is just a learner's permit, but I passed the test so I can actually start driving. Now, that is, I'd had to take a test. I actually failed the first test. It's a truck. Come on, guys. Give me a break. And, you know, when I actually did this test, it's interesting. When I went to the licensing office, I told the lady, I want to get a license to be able to drive a school bus. And she said, yeah, okay, this is the one. And then she gave me the forms to drive actually a bigger kind of vehicle. So I can actually drive bigger trucks, not just a school bus. I can even apply for a job as a transfer bus driver. Nah, not today. But all that I'm saying is, I took the test. I've gone through the stages, and now I can drive a bigger. And I guess that is how we would do as Christians. When we start experiencing more victories, when we start experiencing God moving in our lives, we start seeing that authority walk on our behalf. Let us not lose sight of it. And let us be like Peter, where we will say, silver and gold I have none. I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. I tell you, the world that we live in today needs God. Amen? It's messed up on every side. Oh my goodness, this school, they're trying to change what they're teaching our kids. They're trying to change things that we know have always worked year in, year out. They're trying to distort definition of things like marriage. And, you know, they're saying even if you do something bad, it's not even bad anymore. It's just not good. And, you know, we need God. Amen? We need God. And by the power of God, we as the church will continue to push back the forces of evil. Amen? You know, like when we have prayer meeting here, it's not just because as a church we should have prayer meeting. No, that's not the reason why we have prayer meeting. We come together because by faith, when I come and you come and Pastor Philip comes and Pastor Irene comes and everybody comes together, the Bible even says one will put 1,000 to flee, two will put 10,000 to flee. Now, how much more would, if 50 of us show up at prayer meetings, can you imagine the resistance that we will push back the forces of evil over this area, amen, over this city, over this nation, over our country, over even the world that we live in, when we come together like that. It's not just a routine, it's not just a ritual, but there's a promise that we stand on, that when we come together to pray, we will see results. And, you know, I'm always so blessed that a lot of times we come to prayer meeting, we write things on the board. You know, this week we write Thanksgiving on the left and we write requests on the right. And then the following week you come back, the requests have moved from the right side to the left side as a Thanksgiving. Praise God. Amen? Because the word is true and the word still works. And I encourage you, wherever it is, even if it's in your home, for crying out loud, that you can come together with your kids and pray with them before they leave. I mean, I do that with my kids whenever I'm dropping them in school in the morning. Well, with my daughter, because she's the only one that rides with me now. I always get her to pray. Pray and just commit the day into God's hands. And she prays for her siblings, prays for me, prays for my wife. We should teach that to our families, teach that to our kids every day. Because the world out there, Satan is ready to just eat you up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We must not give him a chance. Amen? We must stand our ground. We must stand our ground because Jesus' victory is our victory. Amen. And I tell you, the last thing we want to do is get to heaven. And the Lord says, I gave you all these things and you just did nothing with it. God forbid that that happens to us. But we need to stand in the power of his might. And I would keep saying it's in his name, not in our name, not in Nigel's name, it's in the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Amen. So I'll just leave you with this scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. 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 And even as I end this night, just if we can just bow our heads in prayer, and I'll pray, and then I'll hand over the time to Pastor Philip to end the service as he's led by the Spirit. Father God, I just thank you for your word is powerful. Amen. Lord, your word is powerful. And Lord, I just say that in the name of Jesus, in that name that is greater than every other name, every single person that has heard this word preached today will go back home and exercise it in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, they will take control of situations and circumstances. Father God, I just look to you, O God, the author and finisher of our faith. O God, in the name of Jesus, to open doors that have been shut for so long. To shut doors that are open, that should not be open, in the name of Jesus. Those who are looking for jobs to, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those jobs to come forth, oh God. Those who need deliverance, in the name of Jesus, we speak deliverance, oh God. Those who are struggling with one issue or the other, with addictions, in the name of Jesus, we break the power over those addictions, oh God. Oh Lord, those who are looking to you for provision. Oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus to open wombs in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, to open doors of revelation, of understanding, of knowledge that can come from you and you alone, oh God. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, those who need healing. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit of infirmity that is tormenting each one of us, that is tormenting people here in this room, oh God. We pray for a release, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for a release of your power. You said we should just say and pray in your name. And Lord, we come just as we are. We don't have anything that we can offer of ourselves, but we can hide behind your cross because we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We speak healing, oh God. We speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. We plead your blood over every single person in this room today, oh God. That blood that cleanses, that blood that purifies, that blood that makes us whole. And we just say, Lord, let us see you as you are. Let us see you as you are. Not the way the world sees you, but let us see you as you, Holy Spirit, show us yourself, oh God. Lord, we go out in the power of your might by your Spirit. We are victorious because you have won the victory. You have won the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.